The deal would include a limited 6-hour pause in fighting for 4 days. And during those windows, an initial group of hostages would be released.
Women and children would be prioritized. Airlines are bracing for storms and possible schedule changes as the Thanksgiving travel season gets underway. CBS's Chris Van Cleve is at Newark Airport in New Jersey.
The airlines think from a staffing standpoint, they're ready. They think from an aircraft standpoint, they're ready. What they can't control, of course, is the weather.
An environmental disaster in the Gulf where an oil pipeline's leaking into the Mississippi River. Kelly Dennings with the U.S. Coast Guard.
Initial engineering calculations indicated that a potential volume of crude oil that could have been released from the affected pipeline was 1.1 million gallons.
Environmentalists are worried about its impacts. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Supreme Court hearing arguments in a lawsuit challenging the state's Republican legislative maps today. Lawyer Mark Gaber, arguing for the petitioners, suggests Wisconsin's political boundaries are some of the most out of proportion in the United States.
This shocks people across the country who look at this map. This is like foreign to what redistricting looks like.
A ruling is expected by early next year. The opening weekend of the 9-day gun deer season in Wisconsin was slower than last year. The Department of Natural Resources says this year's opening weekend numbers were about 16% lower than last year. Wildlife officials blame mild weather. This year's season started several days earlier than last year's. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Brothers bringing the taste of Texas to Stevens Point with a breakfast taco food stand will close for the season soon. Here's Brittany Merlot.
Amigos Tacos in Stevens Point opened the truck about a month ago. Open every day from 7 a.m. until 1:30 p.m. in the District 1 Brewing Company parking lot. They'll remain open through tomorrow. Then they are closing for the winter and will return for business in the spring.
Renowned organist George Filty will perform at McMillan Memorial Library on Wednesday from 1 to 3 in the Fine Arts Center. Team game day will take place from 2 to 4. Remember, the library will be closed Thursday and Friday this week. The Rekindle the Spirit Parade will take place Wednesday night from 5:45 to 7:30 in downtown Wisconsin Rapids. The parade starts at 3rd Avenue and will cross the Grand Avenue Bridge, ending at Lincoln Street by the Hotel Meade, where you can get pictures with Mr. and Mrs. Claus. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
You probably heard the quote, friends are family you choose. It's also the idea behind the other Thanksgiving holiday, Friendsgiving. Some credit shows, like Friends, for starting this trend by featuring a day meant to celebrate with those who aren't your relatives. And when to gather is up to you. Many celebrate just before Thanksgiving, while others wait until after the official holiday. However you celebrate, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr.
The Packers prepare for the Lions. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers back at practice after the win over the Chargers. But from the training room, 16 players listed on the Packers injury report, 6 unable to practice. Banged up maybe, but not quitters, says wide receiver Christian Watson.
I mean, I think that we just showed it again, but what we already knew, we knew that, you know, we were fighters and we were going to keep on battling to the last second. I think Jay Love said that at the end, you know, we'd been on the wrong end of, you know, that battle, you know, a little too much this year. And it was just exciting that we came out on the right end this time and kept on fighting all the way to the end.
It's the Packers and the Lions Thursday morning at 11:30. NBA, the Bucks dominate the Wizards 142-129. Giannis with 42 points. Chris Middleton, still recovering from that knee surgery, had 18 points, surpassing Michael Redd, and now Sidney Moncrief for the fourth highest career score in team history.
You know, shout out to Michael Redd, shout out to Sidney Moncrief. To come out here and pass those legends, it means a lot.
That's the Bucks' Chris Middleton. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. 22 tonight, under cloudy skies, northwesterly winds, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, highs around 44, lows around 27, tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 43.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again.
And a defense that just...
Down he goes.
Won't...
Intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover forced.
Join us Saturday. Wisconsin travels to Minneapolis to battle for the Axe. Our coverage begins at 12:30 on your home for Wisconsin football. The Badger Sports Network from Learfield. On Wisconsin.
A tree can be a warrior, battling global challenges with greater courage. A tree can be a solution, cleaning our air, supporting our communities, and protecting our wildlife. A tree can be noble, growing hope in every corner of the world. That's why now is the time for trees. Millions of trees. Join our planting movement at arborday.org.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article.
Did you know Wisconsin Rapids used to be two towns, one on each side of the river? Centralia consolidated with Grand Rapids, but residents wanted a name change. Too much mail ended up in Grand Rapids, Michigan, not Wisconsin. Wisconsin Rapids became the official city name in 1920. For locally grown radio, WFHR, I'm Terry Barr.
Maggie Dawn Show, the pre-Thanksgiving edition here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't worry, if you might be rolling into a family Thanksgiving weekend and you know you're going to hear some crazy stuff, just download the Civic Media app. It's like an oasis of reasonability, of good information about how we are all here to protect our freedoms and to pursue a place where everybody's vote actually counts. You know, what a novel concept. Next week, I'm really excited about this. I'm going to do a deep dive on the Supreme Court's shadow docket. I was incredibly inspired by an NPR piece that I heard. The shadow docket, as we understand it today, wasn't always there. And I think it's really important for all of us to understand how this evolved and the implications that it's having for people's everyday lives and our freedoms and liberties. And so on Monday next week, I'm going to spend probably the whole show taking a bit of a dive. You're not going to want to miss that. It's extremely important. Where we are today is not where we even were 5 years ago, and it's not where we were 10 years ago with the way that the Supreme Court is wielding its powers. So not going to want to miss that. Check that out. We're coming back on Monday. Tomorrow, Anya, you're going to be hosting.
That's right. I'm going to be covering some of the over-the-phone scams that have been happening to older Americans, especially some really interesting testimony from a guy who received this really elaborate AI-assisted scam call. They used samples of his son's real voice and made it sound like his son's real voice asking his father for help. They had multiple phone numbers, a fake courthouse. It was a whole thing. So I'll be talking about things we all need to watch out for when the phone rings and you think, oh, I'll just answer it. Hello. What you say next could be really important, or what they say next could be really, really shocking. So, yeah.
Nobody's going to want to miss that.
Nobody.
It's like a public service announcement for everybody that cares about keeping their good hard-earned money in their pocket. That's tomorrow with Anastasia Esther. I'm Maggie Dawn. If you want to join us, on this pre-Thanksgiving episode of the Maggie Dawn Show, 844-967-2789. There's a couple of bits of sound that I want to just go to directly. One of the things that I've always found really interesting about the language that is used often to separate us, to try to create division where there actually isn't any, is this concept that I frequently hear from one side of the aisle about the elites. And I've always found that to be a bit objectionable, not only because I think by the definition that's used by one side of the aisle, I might be considered an elite, right? I've got a law degree. You know, I'm an economist. I got a graduate degree in economics. But guess what? I come from, you know, the near northwest side of Milwaukee. I drive an 02 Honda. I went to college and graduate school and law school on scholarships. I don't consider myself an elite. I consider myself solidly middle class and someone who will always be solidly middle class. And I've devoted my life to public service. So this concept of elites and who is elite and who gets to decide who's elite, I find really interesting. And so it came across my radar that Donald Trump had been leveling certain pejorative criticisms of George Clooney. And someone recently asked the actor George Clooney what his response to all of this was. And there's some adult language here. We've got a clean version of it, of course. But I think what Mr. Clooney had to say speaks to a lot of truth about, wait a minute. Most of us are middle class. And let's ask ourselves, who exactly is it that's calling us elites or trying to use this language to make some of us feel like we're not actually in the same boat together? So, Anya, I thought Mr. Clooney's response to these criticisms was quite to the point. If you would, please, let's listen to a little bit of George Clooney responding to Donald Trump calling him an elite.
I know Donald Trump. You know, I mean, that's the thing is people, you know, I have his phone number in my phone book. He was the guy that came to the bars and asked me about which cocktail waitress was single. You know, that's who he was.
This was back in the 90s.
Not that long. No, back in the 2000s, quite honestly. And so there's this part of you that just goes, well, that guy shouldn't be present. But I was wrong. And he was. And our democracy, I believe, paid a price certainly around the world.
Well, Mr. Clooney goes on for a bit. I don't know if we've got more sound from this, do we? No. But Mr. Clooney goes on to describe the fact that he grew up in the Midwest. And that he worked all manner of jobs. And yes, he eventually broke through and had, you know, has enjoyed much success. But I find, you know, when someone like Donald Trump, who was given absolutely every economic and social advantage that a person possibly can be, who had their business seated and given to them by their parents, I find it quite audacious. Quite ballsy would be a word. For someone like Donald Trump to call me middle-class Maggie an elite. So if you're interested in hearing more from George Clooney, go check that out, because I think the rest of the interview is a little bit hard to air because there's some expletives in there. It's very entertaining. But I wanted to sit for a minute on Donald Trump this afternoon. Before we get to what you are not going to want to miss this hour on the Maggie Dawn Show, I'm going to be joined by Aicha Sawa, the current City of Milwaukee Comptroller, which is their chief fiscal officer. We're going to talk a bit about why she's chosen to not run for re-election after one term and, you know, how challenging it is, I think, for women in electoral politics. So stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss that. But there's been a lot of debate. There was this recent Colorado state court ruling about whether or not Donald Trump can be on the ballot, and the court ruled that he could. And the court also made very clear that Mr. Trump engaged in an insurrection. And while I am a learned lawyer on many points, I would never call myself a constitutional scholar. And there are such learned lawyers, and one of them is a guy by the name of Lawrence Tribe. He's been a constitutional scholar of some renown for quite some time. And Larry Tribe had this interview recently with Katie Couric, and I'm going to let Anya pick some of the sound. But this is Lawrence Tribe, a constitutional scholar. I think the man's got to be nearly in his 70s, if not in his 70s. He's been doing this a very long time. He's taught constitutional law. And he's describing the analysis under the 14th Amendment of whether or not Donald Trump should actually be permitted to run for president. Let's take a listen to constitutional scholar Larry Tribe discussing the 14th Amendment question.
University. And I know you and Judge J. Michael Luttig, who is a former federal judge on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit, believe that Section 3 of the 14th Amendment effectively prohibits Donald Trump from ever being president again. Can you explain in simple terms how you've come to that conclusion?
Sure. Both Judge Luttig and I have studied the 14th Amendment for a very long time, and it is one of the most important parts of the Constitution. The 14th Amendment is the part of the Constitution that basically, after the Civil War, said that states cannot violate certain rights on the part of their citizens. But it also said in Section 3 that anyone who takes an oath to support or defend the U.S. Constitution as an officer under the United States, and who then engages in insurrection or rebellion against the Constitution, can never again hold any office. It's very straightforward. We've never before had a president who, at least apparently, tried to turn the Constitution upside down by violating the provision that says if you lose a presidential election, you leave. You don't try to hold on. You don't, among other things, have fake electoral slates or rile up a mob to sack the Capitol during the time that they are officially counting the electoral votes. And yet that is what it looks like Donald Trump did. So Judge Luttig and I concluded fairly simply that this basic protection of democracy, the provision that says you're not eligible for another bite at the apple if you try to crush it the first time, that applies to Donald Trump.
That is the root here. And what I'd also, or what I'd like to sort of gather our thinking around is this fundamental concept that regardless of our politics or our policy preferences, there has to be a shared expectation that our elected officials will respect our freedoms and our rights of all American citizens, no matter who voted for you or didn't. And when you have a man who is announcing repeatedly and very clearly that he's going to have an enemies list, and that only those loyal to him will enjoy the full protections of the law, we have a problem. We're going to be back in a minute. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. Keep it locked after these important messages.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Dynamite!
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
I'm Sawyer. And I'm Shannon. Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We're born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Are you taking a long drive this weekend to go visit family, friends, and loved ones? Eat your turkey and pumpkin pie. Take Civic Media with you. Go download that app from your favorite app store. It is free. You're going to love having it at your fingertips. You can join us, 844-967-2789. So there was a press conference yesterday. President Biden's press secretary was describing a whole manner of things, responding to lots of stuff. Now, most of the time, and indeed yesterday, the press actually gets sort of an outline of what's going to be talked about. And so a huge portion of what was talked about yesterday was the press secretary presenting the price of regular consumer goods a year ago or 2 years ago and the price of consumer goods today. And it was very interesting. One network chose to cut away when they went to that segment of the press conference. Let's take a listen.
Time, just in time for holiday travel, gas prices are down $1.70 from their peak. Airline tickets are down 13% over the last year, and car rentals are down about 10%. And as we start preparing our Thanksgiving meals, grocery inflation is at its lowest level in over 2 years, with prices for eggs, milks, bacon, and fresh veggies lower than last year. In fact, according to the American Farm Bureau, the cost of a Thanksgiving dinner fell this year. Prices are down for turkey, stuffing, peas, cranberries, pie crust, and whipping cream. We had a big discussion about whipping cream in the back. Don't know what whipping cream is. I know whipped cream, but not whipping cream. Anyway, because wages are rising.
It's great. So what she's describing is wages are rising, prices are down, so your dollar's going further. But it's interesting. Again, the major networks, everybody in the press room, they have advanced notice of when the outline of things. And so you can literally check we're coming to the portion of the press conference where they're going to be talking about the fact that things are more affordable for Americans this year than they were last. Oh, and Fox News cut away, stopped airing the press conference. And then Jason Chaffetz, a well-known personality on Fox News, went ahead a little bit later in the day and said this nugget.
Jason, you're a messenger. You've messaged in Congress. I mean, I think it's time to throw out Bidenomics.
$90 for a turkey. The price of stamps is up 32% in the last 4 years.
Let's just listen. $90 for a turkey. I'm not sure what turkey he's talking about or from where. But here are the facts. The price of turkey per pound was $1.68 on average nationwide a year ago. It is currently $1.25. 25. That is a 25% drop in turkey prices. If you are going to spend $90 on a turkey, it would need to be a 70-pound turkey. I don't even think they come that big, y'all. I mean, you cut away from the actual economic facts, then you put someone like Jason Chaffetz on the air who's talking about a $90 turkey and stamps. By the way, the USPS has been raising the price of stamps across all presidential administration. If you care about middle-class Americans, and I'm one of them, maybe I'm going to start by going the moniker middle-class Maggie. Stop lying to me about what things cost. Stop creating fear where I shouldn't be fearful. Because I want to know actually what the facts are, and I want the people that are telling me the news, and I want my president and his press secretary actually telling me what the facts are. And the facts are that across literally the basket of consumer goods that most of us will be buying or have bought for this weekend's gatherings, it's all cheaper than it was last year. So I say bravo to Bidenomics, and shame on you, Fox News, for again lying to the American people. We all deserve a goodly bit better than that, at the very least. Now, coming up in a little bit, we're going to have Aicha Sawa, the current City of Milwaukee comptroller. If you're thinking to yourself, what the heck is a comptroller? It's the chief fiscal officer. I have spent some goodly amount of time on these airwaves talking about the sales tax that was recently adopted by the city and the county and how important this was to avert immediate term fiscal crises. You're not going to want to miss our discussion because Ms. Sawa has decided not to run for a second term. So an incredibly important elected office at the City of Milwaukee is going to be open. Now, that's very rare. In the last probably 25, 30 years, there's only been four elected comptrollers of the City of Milwaukee: Jim McCann, Marty Mattson,
Wally Morix.
I forgot about Wally. Let me do this again. Jim McCann, Wally Morix, Marty Mattson, and Aicha Sawa. Over 30 plus years. That's an incredibly stable chief fiscal officer. And now at this time where the City of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County needed to ask the state for this additional revenue source in terms of a sales tax. And yes, it is giving us a moment where we all can breathe a little bit. But make no mistake, the fiscal challenges for both Milwaukee County and the City of Milwaukee aren't going away. The shared revenue formula that the state has used and slightly improved still does not work for the largest, most densely populated region in the state, the economic engine of Wisconsin, that is the city and Milwaukee County. And so the need for a steady hand at the wheel in the city and the county is very real. And at the same time, Ms. Sawa has announced that she will not seek a second term. Milwaukee County's comptroller also has announced that he will not seek another term of office. And Mr. Scott Mansky has been in his office for over 15 years. He has been the elected comptroller of Milwaukee County since it was an elected office. So we're going to talk about that when you come back. You're not going to want to miss that because it is these kinds of offices within government that many might not know exactly what these folks do that have an immediate and direct impact on our quality of life. Because the fiscal sustainability of our local government, which is in large part nonpartisan, is such an essential part of the quality of life and our day-to-day enjoyment. Keep it locked here on The Maggie Dawn Show. Join our conversation, 844-967-2789, here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The state Supreme Court hearing arguments today in a lawsuit challenging the state's legislative maps. Marquette University's John Johnson says the court will decide if so-called islands outside district borders are constitutional.
So they proposed a map that kept municipalities in a single district, even when the municipality was composed of pieces that didn't all touch each other.
Johnson spoke with the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Network. Dollar General stores in Wisconsin will pay $850,000 after an investigation of inaccurate price tags at stores across the state. The discount chain also agrees to accuracy checks every 90 days, but is not admitting to breaking any laws. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Today is the two-year anniversary of the Waukesha Christmas Parade attack. Six people were killed and 60 injured when a man drove his vehicle through the parade. Governor Evers acknowledged that the attack united the people of Waukesha, Wisconsin, and people across the nation. Flags will be lowered to half-staff across the state in remembrance by order of the governor. Waukesha will hold commemorative events today to honor the victims. Aspirus Health in Wisconsin Rapids now offers orthopedic services. Four orthopedic surgeons have joined the orthopedic care team at the Aspirus Riverview Clinic. They offer care for all ages and can provide the latest in diagnosis and treatment, both surgical and non-surgical. These include care for all types of injuries and conditions that affect your joints from your foot to your shoulder. They can also perform joint replacement surgery and bone fracture repair. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The D3.
D3 right of the circle. Badgers take the lead.
The throwdown.
Down the lane and sends it in and one.
The thrilling victory.
Badgers win it. Oh, did they dig in defensively tonight?
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Takes the three, sidesteps left for three in the lead. He hit it.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Drives the lane, draw and kick, right corner three. Got it again.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
Badgers basketball gets past Virginia. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin men's basketball team advancing to the final round of the Fort Myers tip-off tournament by beating Virginia 65-41 in Florida, a better showing than their performance at home against Robert Morris University. Badgers guard Chucky Hepburn.
You know, coming off that Robert Morris game, you know, we knew we had to fix things fast because we were going to play a great team like Virginia. And we locked in practice Saturday and Sunday. We were able to really lock in defensively, and that showed today.
So the Badgers will face SMU in the final round of the tournament, 7:30 tomorrow night. NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks with a five-game winning streak last night in Washington. It was the Bucks 142-129 over the Wizards. Adrian Griffin describes Giannis scoring 42 points.
Unstoppable. Man, he was in his rhythm tonight. Just he's unstoppable.
That's the Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit btussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. 22 tonight, under cloudy skies, northwesterly winds, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, highs around 44, lows around 27, tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Vujicic.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
sweet surprise. Her hands are never cold. She's got Betty Davis eyes. She'll turn her music on you. You won't have to.
Welcome, everybody. I am Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. Here on the Civic Media Radio Network, I am joined by Aichisawa, City of Milwaukee's current comptroller, which is the chief fiscal officer for Wisconsin's largest city. So for all those folks out there that's like, comptroller, what the heck's that? Why don't you go ahead and tell everybody what it is that you and your office do?
Alrighty. Hi, Maggie.
Good to see you. Yeah, it's great to have you back.
What does the comptroller do? We are the chief finance officer of the city. I am responsible for everything, including everything finance. I am the last double check on anything, payroll, accounting, doing the whole financial statements for the city. We are that last double check for you, the taxpayer, that independent advisory double check chief financial officer for the city that is not beholden to the mayor or the council.
Yeah, when you're elected and you're a chief financial officer, a chief fiscal officer for a governmental entity, it's everything from preparing the financial statements, assessing the financial status of that governmental entity, auditing, right?
Right.
Pension funding, which has been an issue for both the city and the county. And frankly, providing a reporting in a way to average taxpayers that help folks understand how the city is managing its finances. It's a really interesting position because that's your role, but you don't get to make the actual decisions.
Right.
Which I've found as a chief legal officer, right? We have different expertise, but they speak to one another. You know, we provide guidance and input in our particular subject matter areas, but we don't actually get to make the decisions. So what happens, to help folks understand, if you think something is financially unwise for the city, how do you provide that information to elected officials? What's the process? Like, do you get to veto things if they're bad? Like, how does that work?
Well, we have no voting rights, as you said. So we do not get to veto. The most we can do is state our case and try to persuade in the interests of the city's fiscal health. So usually in that case, if it is something that I need to make known, I usually let both sides of the second floor, which is the council and the mayor, usually let them know pretty equally, since I'm not, again, beholden to either of them. I'm not specifically loyal to either one of them, right? I'm just loyal to what's best for the city. So when something needs to be raised, we bring it up with the budget office, the budget director who works for the mayor generally. And that's a different wrinkle because it's like two top finance people in the city. So it creates a little bit of an issue, but so not a bad issue.
No, it's just the way that city government and most government offices, including the federal government, work is that within the executive branch of government, the chief executive officer of a governmental entity prepares a budget, and that's submitted to the legislature. In the city's case, the common council for smaller towns, villages, etc., you have a similar setup of some form.
Right.
And it's interesting, those two branches are the one that adopt a budget. And yet here in the city of Milwaukee, you have a chief fiscal officer that's elected, which means neither the mayor nor the legislature can remove you. So you're trying to help them make good financial and fiscal decisions. So you'll communicate when you think something is a risk for the city. What form does that take? Are these private communications? Does it start there? Does it move? Will you take a public position in like a hearing? How does that work for people? How do they pay attention to what your counterparts in different jurisdictions are doing.
Yeah, I think obviously it depends on the situation. I have broken out and said a couple things the first time at the Finance and Personnel Committee of the Council,
and that's created, a public hearing.
It's a public hearing, so that has created some waves on the news that I had to give. But it doesn't matter, right? You have to give it out. And it was a budget hearing. Other times, it starts with a private conversation and moves into a public communication. It really depends on what the issue is. And, you know, if it's something that's small enough that can be kind of remedied beforehand, or if it is a large enough issue. It depends. Again, it depends on what I think the risk to the city is and if it needs to be publicized, because unfortunately or fortunately, there are a lot of issues that I think the public deserves to know, and it doesn't need to be, you know, wrapped up and be a secret.
Right. Which means that whomever is the elected chief financial officer of Milwaukee County or the city of Milwaukee, they're exercising an incredible amount of judgment, right? And discretion in what they should publicize or write a sort of a formal communication to the council or share with the Finance and Budget Committee. So there's a lot of judgment that you're exercising. You're making calls about, hey, this is important enough that I need to go out there and say something out in the public. Do those things come up frequently?
No, I mean, yes and no. I think it depends on the situation. I think there were some things that came up during like the budget hearings, and the budget hearings were a very appropriate time to pretty much talk about anything.
Yes.
Since you're going into the next year. There's a lot of them that, you know, don't, you know, go around like the council cycles of the meetings. So those are, you know,
Those issues.
Mm-hmm. So you talk about them with the mayor or the council president or the finance chair. It really just depends. I mean, there's a lot of times where, like, related to debt or our bond ratings, whatever they may be, we write a nice email, like you said, explaining the situation, what happened, and we send it to both sides of the aisle, kind of like what I was saying. So,
and those emails are public records.
They're public record, right.
And that's really, really critical. So for those of you who might not be, you know, up on municipal finance things, municipalities in the state of Wisconsin and counties, so the city and county, can issue debt. And then just like a consumer who has credit card debt or a mortgage or a car loan, you have a particular credit rating. Either you're a reliable credit risk, meaning you'll pay that debt back, or maybe you're a little bit riskier. And if you are riskier, you'll pay more to, quote, finance that debt, which means the interest rates will be higher. And in the city of Milwaukee, we have for many years had a very strong credit rating. There's been some downgrades. But what that means for taxpayers is if your credit rating slips, you effectively pay more in interest payments to manage that ongoing debt load. So the point I'm sort of circling around here, Aicha, and then I'll ask you the real question that I'm trying to get to, is that whomever is this chief financial officer for the city of Milwaukee or Milwaukee County, they exercise an incredible amount of professional judgment. They exercise that in how they help educate both the legislative and executive branches about what's good fiscally for that jurisdiction, but also about what they take public stands on. And so, as you're leaving office, what would you say to voters out there? How important would you tell them an office like yours, the comptroller's office, or the city attorney, a legal office, these things that seem a little bit technical and sometimes hard to understand exactly what we do? How important are these offices to taxpayers and residents in the city of Milwaukee?
What I would say is these offices are extremely important. They can even be more important than, you know, specific county supervisors or alders, in the sense that they are independently elected working professionals. These are like two offices that really provide stability to the city or to the county or whichever organization it is. And that stability, like you said, is really kind of like the glue that holds the city together. And it holds it together in a very understated, non-visible kind of way. Because like you said, most people don't know what the city attorney, you can kind of guess, right? What does the attorney do? But in an understated way, no one really knows what these people do on a daily basis and what they're really doing for the city and the amount of, you know, brain power and impact they are utilizing just to maybe save the city from some grave thing that could have gone wrong. You know, you don't know what these people do behind the scenes on a daily basis. It is a little, people don't think about it, but there's a lot going on behind the scenes.
So as we approach this next election cycle and the city comptroller is going to be open for reelection and Milwaukee County's comptroller is going to be open for reelection. Now, Scott Mansky at the county side has been in that role for a long time. You have worked in the city of Milwaukee's comptroller's office for a very long time as well, but you've spent one term as an elected official. I was wondering, can you share with folks, why is it that you've made the decision for you and your family to not seek reelection?
Well, I did a lot of soul searching and I lost a lot of sleep, a lot of sleep. I think, this is something that probably women, I feel like, definitely think about these things very long and hard. But I just, you know, when I'm done with my term, I will have served the city for 14 years. And even before that, I worked at the state and I audited governments in my past jobs as well. So I've really been in public service my entire first half of my career. And I love it. I love using my business degree for everything. But just personally, I just felt like I needed to move on to a different opportunity. But I grappled with it a lot. I have an amazing management and senior management team. And we've accomplished so much in one term that, safe to say that, you know, previous comptrollers might not have accomplished. We did an open checkbook. So you can go on our city's website, you can go on the comptroller website and click through and you can find any vendor, any payment the city has made. And we update it monthly. So you can see anything. We've gotten awards for financial statements that we hadn't had in like four decades before that. So definitely kind of up the game in terms of transparency. And I'm really proud of everything we've done. But I feel like I just need to go make a difference somewhere else.
It's having served in government myself for over a decade now. It's an incredible privilege. It's always an honor to serve in those ways. It's also incredibly personally taxing, especially you and I are sort of kismet friends and we've known each other for a long time. When you serve in these professional and technical ways for these jurisdictions, again, we don't ultimately make these decisions. And the political climate today is so markedly different than it was even 5 years ago. Did that come into your thinking at all? Has that changed your view of public service?
I think being in the trenches of the politics has changed it for sure. I think it was eye-opening, and I think it was something that that has changed, you know, my viewpoint on politics forever. I just think that being in a technical role, I feel like I needed that. It was just, there was too much to get.
We're going to come back.
Okay. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained.
Farmers and ranchers have a lot of choices to make. When it comes to your crop insurance needs, The team at Egg Country Farm Credit Services can simplify it all for you. Egg Country's Optimum tool will compare thousands of options based on information from your farm, which will then be used to find the right policy for your operation. Ask about the Optimum tool by contacting your local Egg Country office. Egg Country. Focused on ag. Focused on you.
What is the meaning behind Movember?
It isn't just about the mustaches. Movember is meant to raise awareness about men's health, prostate or testicular cancer, or suicide, and also be a reminder to see your doctor. Movember started in Australia in 2003. It's now observed in more than 20 countries. So guys, remember to see your doctor, and however you celebrate this month, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr. Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Everybody, I am Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. If you want to join us for the last segment, 844-967-2789. We have been joined by Aicha Sawa, the current city Milwaukee comptroller, the chief fiscal officer of the city. And I did a crappy job as the host trying to give you enough time to answer what I think is a really critical question, and that is, how does the politics of being an elected official, how has the politics of an elected official, if at all, impacted your decision to not seek a second term, Aicha, especially if I can be honest, as a woman and as a woman who's an elected official in a technical professional role serving political arms of government?
I would say that it wasn't the one thing that led me to not rerun. It was a culmination of kind of a lot of the things that I mentioned before. And it was just, I think, where I am in my own career. But I will say that kind of being in the middle of those two political bodies, you like we were talking about before, you have to kind of be careful and you strategize on kind of when you tell someone something, what risks are you, you know, opening the city up to or not opening the city up to or covering by telling someone? So there are a lot of kind of risk management, I guess, type strategies that you do mentally, which isn't just the technical part, right? There's like two different types of energy and work that you are doing. The one is communicating and doing the actual technical work and then figuring out what you need to communicate from that. But then the human side and the strategy side of how and when to communicate that. So there is an at the top being the elected, you are generally doing that top, but also making sure that the technical is all in line. So it's a culmination of two different types of work together, and not just doing the actual, like, leading the organization with him.
Yeah, it's really, as a technical person that works in government, to me, it's been remarkable in my career the amount of effort and attention that has to be paid to the politicization of the technical expertise. That what you say as a professional trying to provide advice and guidance to folks that, for better or worse, are subject to election cycles can be extraordinarily challenging. Let's go quickly to the phones. Mark from the SAC, happy Thanksgiving. Say hi to Aicha. What is your comment or question this afternoon?
Hi, Aicha. Yeah, thank you so much for taking my call. It's heartening to me that the whole Lawrence Tribe pointed out the whole any office under the United States is included under the 14th Amendment, under the Insurrection Clause. And that was my thought all along, that it's and I'm not wrongheaded in thinking that. And because Donald Trump is screaming, you know, Hamilton's Federalist 75 warning about a corrupt chief magistrate. I mean, that, and he continues to, you know, the nonsense I'm hearing now is all these people, they broke into the Capitol on January 6th. Now they're saying, well, some of them were so peaceful. Now, my point would be that every single one of them that broke into the Capitol that day was in violation of at least, you know, criminal trespass and being part of the whole activity itself. So, I mean, trying to write off some of these people as, oh, they're just little innocent tourists is just a load of crap.
Yeah, it's a difficult moment. Mark, tell Aicha, thank her for her public service and service, not just of the city of Milwaukee. Yeah. Thanks so much,
thank
Mark.
You.
It's incredible to me. And thank you, Aicha, for being here again. I hope you consider coming back and sharing with folks what you understand about government and these technical jobs within government. Before I came on the show this evening, I was gathered with a bunch of my colleagues from Milwaukee County, and we're celebrating the passage of the budget, which is sometimes a labor of love, a labor of pain. It's a lot of things. But I wanted to emphasize, and I think it's appropriate in this moment, that government, when it works well, is fueled by folks like Aicha Sawa, who are technical experts who show up every day to provide their professional best in the service of all of the people of the jurisdictions that they work for. And as we go into this weekend where we gather with family and friends, it is so critical that we understand and appreciate the work that these professionals do. And when we talk about civil servants, we talk about people who are not there to serve political agendas or personal ones. They are there to serve all of the public by bringing their professional best. I, for one, have found it the greatest credit of my career to serve in this capacity. I thank you, Aicha, for your service to the city over these many years. And as we consider the candidates going into this 2024 cycle, let us try to lift up and affirm those that serve all, regardless of party, and do so with professional integrity. The world needs good public servants and elected officials who respect that. My name is Maggie Dawn. You've been listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. I wish you all a very blessed and safe weekend together. Let us always remember to lift up and respect Native Americans who may not be celebrating as we all may be this weekend.
Locally grown radio, WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you. Dynamite!
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by Steel.
I'm Monica Ricks. Israel's reviewing a deal for the release of hostages held by Hamas. CBS's Linda Kenyon is at the White House.